Good morning, 810, Ernie and Lisa. Right now on phone line, we have Dr. Ellen Kenner, and she joins us every third Tuesday of the month. Good morning, Dr. Kenner.
Good morning.
Ah, there she is. Yeah. How are you?
I am very good. Up and singing.
Up and singing, yes. Hey, now, I would be remiss if I didn't stand in for Charlie and just talk to you a little bit about Dancing with the Stars.
Are you watching it?
I'm addicted.
Yes.
I am. Yeah. I always would make fun of Charlie keeping track on Dancing with the Stars, and now I'm addicted.
Yeah, tell me what you thought of Gil Marini coming back last night.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you.
And
I'll
saying, make them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know. And I absolutely adore Kelly.
Yeah.
I really do. But I think Maya's going to win the whole thing. What do you think?
I think she's going to win, and I feel the same way you do. Maya is absolutely sparkling. She's a gem. But Kelly has that real person feel.
She does.
The vulnerability, yeah. The softness, and the honesty. I mean, how many people are that out in the open with what they're feeling at the precise moment? And you see her smile. There's something in her smile that very few people have.
Yeah. It's very disarming, and she's truly genuine. I think it's going to be a tough decision, and one misstep is going to send somebody home.
Right. Yeah, but they're all good. They all won.
Exactly. And I do love the dance center, the playoff on ESPN Sports Center with Kenny Mayne. And it's just hilarious. I think that's such a great shtick that they do. So, but you're not here to talk about Dancing with the Stars the whole time.
I don't know. We're going to Ohio. Our son's dancing next week, so we're into this.
Oh,
we'll
no
probably
kidding.
See some of the people on Dancing with the Stars because they're typically judges.
Wow, fantastic. So, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I just want to interrupt for a sec. We did get an email from you, Dr. Kenner.
Oh, I sent you one.
See?
Oh, so odd. I sent it to Ernie. Well, I won't give your email over the air. You know, I sent it to you. And one of the things I had, I can tell you the four topics.
Okay,
one is
sure.
Preparing psychologically for the holidays because they can dredge up
all
sorts of buried feelings, the anger, the anxiety, and a range of emotions going back to your own your family of origin again. A second topic was how to see Thanksgiving not as a day of guilt, of national guilt, because that's how some people treat it, instead of a day of wonderful success. A third was how to enjoy spectator sports, whether it's Dancing with the Stars, without feeling guilty. So what is the value of spectator sports? And the last one is, when is it proper to help someone? I mean, everyone says you should help everyone during Thanksgiving, and it is kind of a holiday of guilt for some people.
Right.
And when is it proper and when is it not proper? So any of those topics or all of them?
Let's hit them all.
Okay.
Why not?
Okay.
Well, Thanksgiving is sort of all-encompassing of all of that. There is so many emotions that run through our heads. And the guilt part, now, you know, for me, sometimes the guilt is not being able to go and spend the holiday with a particular person or a particular side of the family because our families are spread out on, you know, two opposite ends.
Yeah.
And so it's a long adjustment over the years of, you know, my year, your year kind of thing.
Right.
And how do people deal with that, especially new couples? Sometimes it's really difficult for newly married couples of, you know, well, my family does this, well, my family does this, and the guilt of not being able to be with one side or the other.
Right. Well, I think the question is wrong. If the question is how to please everybody else and how to make sure every member of my family, my sisters, my mother and father are happy, and my grandmother and your grandmother, you know, the other side of the family are happy, then that's the wrong question because you're in a no-win situation. Somebody's going to be hurt by your coming at a wrong time or not coming to their house or someone's going to be hurt. The question is, as a couple, if you're talking about a husband and a wife or partners, what would bring you the most pleasure for Thanksgiving? If everybody did that and everybody had that Kelly quality of being honest, Kelly from Dancing with the Stars,
yeah, uh-huh.
of being honest and tactful, you can say, you know, I feel overwhelmed, and what I would like to do is stop by for dessert and say hi to everybody, but the whole three-hour thing is not what I'm looking for. I really want to curl up and read a book. I haven't had any downtime. And just be truthful with people. Or if you wanted, I can't wait to come to your house, Mom. We're going to come to your house the night before. We'll take you out for Thanksgiving, but we're going to Joe's family this year. People are going to be hurt, and you need to deal with it in a very loving way, but you can't please everybody. And the number one person that you can please is asking yourself, and number two would be your partner, because you need to compromise on what would work best for both of you.
Right. And in many of those situations, though, too, like my family isn't next door or in the same town. It's a three-hour drive.
Yeah.
Or a flight. And, of course, you have all that stress also wrapped around travel because, of course, this is a holiday that people just dread.
Right,
the travel,
traveling.
You hear all the horror stories. How do you deal with that kind of stress?
Well, let me do one thing before that. My daughter called me up. She was coming in for 2 weeks during the holidays with her boyfriend, staying with us. Joyous, joyous time that we all have together. She called me up and said, Mom, it's too much. It's too expensive to come out at that time of, you know, you're getting mm-hmm. a ticket now from California to Rhode Island. It's too expensive. We're going to come out after the holidays for a week and enjoy your company. And I'll be able to get a lot of work done because it will be quiet at the university that she's at. And we'll just have a quiet Christmas or holiday there. I loved her honesty. I mm-hmm. loved the Kelly spirit, and it made so much sense. And I'm not sitting here moping and giving her a guilt trip.
Right.
So that's a good example.
But that's unusual.
Yeah, but
you're
exception,
doctor.
Right, but people need to hear that.
Yeah.
People need to hear that they don't need to have such a low self-esteem that they think the relationship is gone if they don't have the person come in at a certain hour at a certain time, and that you can they can miss having that person come. They may need to just deal with the sadness. But deal with it in a way that's loving and self-supporting and supporting of the other person, too. I love my daughter's honesty.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Let's look at guilt from another aspect.
Okay.
When I, for instance, go grocery shopping around Thanksgiving, and I'm out and I'm shopping, and I just have this cart full of stuff, and then it always hits me about halfway through, look at this cart full of stuff. And how, you know, I just feel guilty that I'm able to, you know, provide this and have a huge dinner and how do, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, no, now I need to go out and I would love to, you know, bring the whole family to cook somewhere or to,
right,
and usually we donate
or
turkeys and things like that. But, you know, it is a guilt-filled time because many people are hurting, especially
and,
in this economy.
Right, and there are two different types of people who are hurting. There are people who we all have empathy for, and maybe it's ourselves. You know, we lost a job through no fault of our own. We're really hard workers. We're desperate to get back to work. Those are good people. There are other people that are hurting, and it's self-made. They're the people that many times I saw on the welfare system when I was in working in that area with therapy, they would come in and they'd say, well, I teach my kids how to work the soup kitchens. I know how to work them. And you take away my kid because I'm beating on them or sexually abusing them, and I'm going to have another kid. You know, mm-hmm. these are low life. Low life, there's no other word for them. They don't want to work. They want, how can I live if you take away my house and if you take away taxpayer-funded housing, taxpayer-funded food stamps, and they just expect, they have an entitlement attitude, and they want something for nothing, and they demand that you give it to them, and they try to make you feel guilty. They want you to think that faith and charity are the rules, and that they're the ones that collect, and of course politicians push this too, because they get their votes. So it's very different. You have to make a choice on Thanksgiving. Is it a holiday to feel guilty, to look at that cart of food and to say that, oh my God, you know, this is God gave me abundance and he didn't give these poor people abundance, or this is due to people who do the hard manual labor, or do you look at it and say, this is because of my success in production, I am a good talk show host. You know, you could say that about yourself, Lisa. Or
not today, but you know.
And this is to celebrate what I do. I produce, and I am not going to make this. I am not going to listen to those success-hating commentators. I am not going to kneel. I'm going to reach for the sky and enjoy the success I have and share it with those that I value. And if there's somebody who you love and who's having a rough time, or a neighbor that you know is a good person, then it's proper to bring them some chicken soup or a turkey. But if you don't know them at all, you're at risk of helping your enemies.
Right. Right. Or you're at risk of, you know, I mean, people's pride is also at stake here. And you know, sometimes people just don't want any help or any attention brought to the fact that they need help.
Oh, so I've had people tell me, my parents were really poor, and I used to hate Thanksgiving time because people would come to our door from the local community with that little basket, and it made me feel so inferior. So
right.
I hated it. My parents didn't even eat the food. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So do-gooders are not really do-gooders; they're do-batters.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tricky situation, and you know, the other thing too is I like to kids today. You know, they just don't have a lot of this sense of tradition anymore. You know, when I was growing up, there was a lot of tradition, and I want to preserve that for my kids, and make sure that they get the same kind of feelings during the holidays, and but at the same time, I also want to, you know, have them understand that they're pretty fortunate to be able to celebrate the holidays, and so how do you instill that in kids, you know, to be giving and to enjoy themselves and look out for other people and give thanks that they're actually very fortunate at this time.
I think there's that same mix that we talked about earlier. If you make kids feel guilty, then they will have chronic self-doubt. When they produce something, when they earn something, like my daughter is a young kid earning her first bicycle by doing all chores around the house and earning quarters, and she earned $10, which bought her a bicycle at a second-hand shop. She had that sense of pride. Now, if I said, you know, there are people in the world that don't have bicycles, she'd say, well, why don't they earn them? You know, that would be her comment as a little tyke. And that is true. You are responsible for yourself. And when you value another person and see them having a problem through no fault of their own, and you value them, and it's not a sacrifice for you, you're not giving away your own kids' operation to give your neighbor's kid an operation. You know, you can't sacrifice like that. But when you have something, that's fine to give, and to teach kids that type of giving is valid. But to teach them that anything they own they should feel guilty for is teaching them selflessness and self-doubt, and that's not good. There are certain circumstances where you help somebody, and it's good to teach kids this too. When it's through no fault of their own, if you have people who are criminal or who are alcoholics or drug addicts, and they're continuing to do that, then you're not responsible for your brothers who do that. If you want to help a particular person because you have empathy for the reason that they got there, that's different, but you are not responsible for the entire world. In communist countries, that's from each according to his ability to each according to his need. That's the policy, and that kills those countries. That killed the initial Puritans with Governor Bradford. They tried that experiment, and people were dying. And so then they changed it around and gave people private property. And they had the cornucopia. They were able to celebrate production.
Sure.
You help people when it's basically through no fault of their own, when it's short-lived. You're just helping them get back on their feet. When they're genuinely appreciative, they don't have this entitled, well, you owe me more. When you value them, not your criminals or your enemies. We're helping the terrorists. You know?
Yes, that's the next
bizarre.
Thing I wanted to,
it's bizarre.
To hit on the lines of the Fort Hood shooting.
Yeah, go ahead.
What goes through the mind of now? Of course, you know, when it's not someone necessarily that just snapped. We have the element of an extremist, a religious extremist here at work. I think, truthfully,
it's,
but
go
what
ahead.
Goes through the mind that makes someone snap like that.
I'll bet you already know it, Lisa.
They probably are
envious. They hate looking at someone like you or I or Ernie or people who are productive, anybody who's worked a day, an honest day in their life. They hate looking at them and seeing the success, and they've been taught a moral code that tells them that sacrifice is good, self-sacrifice. I mean, to the point of killing themselves.
Right.
So, I mean, we get it in milder doses in Christianity and Judaism, but they get it full speed ahead. You know, the essence of morality is to kneel, to bow, to grovel, to give up their lives, to give up, give up, give up, as opposed to produce, not take, take, take. That's mm-hmm. the opposite. But to produce, to earn a sense of pride, to feel responsible. So the two things that go through their mind are envy of people whose character is better than their own. It's like the Tanya Harding. People who are listening may not remember that, but Tanya Harding didn't like that Nancy Kerrigan, these are figure skaters, Olympic figure skaters, was better than her. So she has her knee bashed in.
Yeah.
And so they're envious. They don't want to rise up to your Nancy Kerrigan's level. They want to beat her down. And that's what that's what Islam preaches, and that's what the Islamic terrorists are doing, the radical ones.
Right. Do you buy the defense that probably will be used, is that listening to, you know, him and dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder of his patients and listening to all of that and working with these people in that capacity led him to kind of snapping because he was going to be deployed as well.
All BS. BS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is not the case. This guy, you've got so many connections to Al-Qaeda. This guy...
Yeah.
He's seeping. He tells his story. The evidence will be mounting if Obama lets them collect it, because Obama's not on our side either. But the evidence will be mounting, and it should be in military court.
Absolutely, it should be.
But
absolutely,
because we can give away military secrets in the rest. We don't want to do that. But what these people run from their entire lives is to have to look in a psychological mirror and look at their own character. And so they prefer to kill the people who represent what they never achieved in their own soul, the honesty, mm-hmm. the integrity, the production, the love of human life, the wanting to produce in order to make life easier for us. I'm sitting here in a heated house with rugs and walls. I mean, it's wonderful. But every single item around you and around me, the cars we drive, the supermarkets we go into, are marvels of the human mind. Every single item somebody created. We can't pick it off the trees that they grow. And to hate the human mind is to hate life. And that's what they are. They're dedicated to hating life.
Well, I think if there's any revenge or justice, for me, one is that he lived right now. He survived so that we can find out, and then we can punish him. So often, people in this situation, they either kill themselves or someone kills them, and then there's just no recourse. And I'm always curious, you know, why did you do that? You know, how cowardly it is for you to, you know, do this to everyone and then kill yourself. So for me, I'm like, good. I'm glad he survived. I know that sounds so unchristian, but I'm glad you survived.
No, that's justice, but Christian is...
And now you can pay for it.
Right. But Christian is not pro-rational justice.
Yeah.
Religions give people, criminals often turn to, and politicians turn to religion. Why? Because it gives them a ready-made excuse for... I couldn't help it, and we have to focus on the downtrodden. Well, it's treason to the honest person or to the victim to focus on the perpetrator, you know,
right.
to pour love and affection on the perpetrator.
Yeah, exactly.
It's their responsibility to fix themselves and then to re-earn the trust if they haven't done anything that crosses the line, like killing people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 8:30 on WVMT, and Doctor, we are out of time. We need
okay.
a break for news. It was so nice to talk to you this morning.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
The gamut from Fort Hood to...
Oh, you did. Yeah.
And have a wonderful, enjoyable holiday season.
You also.
Thanksgiving. You as well.
No guilt. Guilt-free holidays. Okay, guys.
I'm doing it.
Take
bye, Doctor.
Now.
Okay, bye, Lisa. Bye, Ernie.
8:30 WVMT, and Ernie's going to check a headline.